Thanksgiving travelers are back in the skies. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Looks like we are traveling for this holiday, almost like we used to. The TSA says it expects to screen about 20 million air passengers around the Thanksgiving period. That's the most since 2019, when 26 million Americans flew. Here in New York, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade's back in full force today. And that is as that department store reconsiders some of the store closures it had planned in the next couple of years. It's also increased benefits for employees. Earlier this month, Macy's announced it would cover 100% of tuition for employees who want more education. And it's not just Macy's doing this. Chipotle, Walmart, and Amazon have all launched similar programs to attract and retain those hard-to-find workers. One question, of course, is do these programs work? Here's Marketplace's Matt Levin.
Starbucks launched its free tuition program back in 2014. Baristas can get a four-year bachelor's degree online through Arizona State. Mary Dixon heads the program for Starbucks.
One in five of our applicants say this is the reason that they applied to Starbucks.
About 7,000 employees have earned a degree through the program, which, yes, is a small fraction of Starbucks' workforce. But Dixon says those employees do tend to stay longer than the average barista, even after they get a degree.
Right now, we see about 40% of our graduates are still with Starbucks.
Education benefits can be a cost-effective investment for employers, says Peter Capelli with the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. They're cheaper than big wage hikes and...
not many employees use it. They're not paying all that much for it. And yet they get a big PR bang out of it.
It's why a recent Amazon commercial featured a worker pursuing a career outside Amazon. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
Kellogg and its striking workers are resuming talks next week. 1,400 workers at four cereal plants have been on strike for more than 7 weeks now. The plants are in Michigan, Nebraska, Pennsylvania, and Tennessee. One of the points of contention has been a two-tiered system of wages where new workers receive less pay and fewer benefits. Kellogg's stock closed yesterday down 0.3%. In Germany, this season is proving difficult. The country hit a grim milestone as 100,000 people there have now died from COVID-19. And a fresh wave of infections continues to grip Europe. This is what is awaiting a new incoming German government. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, has more from London.
The pandemic is priority number one for incoming Chancellor Olaf Scholz. The Social Democrat and his three-party coalition government said they will set up a crisis team to coordinate COVID-19 policy across federal and regional governments. While Mr. Scholz believes vaccinations are a key to controlling the pandemic's damage, lockdowns are another issue. This week, his incoming government reportedly clashed with outgoing Chancellor Angela Merkel, who advocated for a fresh two-week lockdown. But the new coalition is said to prefer to wait and see whether restrictions put in place last week will help bring down infection rates. Like many other nations, Germany's economy has struggled under the weight of the pandemic. Fresh figures today show ongoing supply chain issues constrained economic growth in the third quarter, and a gauge of consumer sentiment this month hit its lowest level since June, threatening the all-important holiday shopping season. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
At this month's White House Tribal Nations Summit, the U.S. Department of Agriculture announced several new partnerships and commitments related to indigenous food sovereignty. The goal is to promote food security and agribusiness in Indian Country. Marketplace's Savannah Maher reports.
During the summit, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack promised to build stronger relationships with tribal governments and food producers.
Our programs and priorities have not always reflected indigenous values, foods, and traditional agricultural techniques.
Advocates for indigenous food sovereignty say that's an understatement. Carly Hotvet, who's a citizen of Cherokee Nation, is with the University of Arkansas's Indigenous Food and Agriculture Initiative. She says federal policy didn't just separate Native people from their traditional food ways. Those policies forced new practices on them that aren't healthy or culturally appropriate.
We were really kind of left up the creek without a paddle and, you know, being self-determinative about what our food policies looked like, where our food came from, what our nutritional choices were.
The USDA is trying to reverse that legacy. Hotvet says one goal is to hand over management of federal food distribution funds to tribal governments.
And really look at investing those dollars into the local food economy, supporting local producers and tribally produced goods.
One USDA effort with the Native American Food Sovereignty Alliance will create new heirloom seed repositories to benefit tribes in the Great Lakes and Southwest regions. The Intertribal Buffalo Council is another of the USDA's new partners.
Well, it's very important to get buffalo back into our diet and back into the plates of our community members.
Jason Valdez sits on that council's board and manages the Eastern Shoshone Tribe's buffalo herd in central Wyoming. During the pandemic, he says the tribe harvested four of those animals and distributed the meat to tribal members in need.
The tribes have a stronger voice, I think, in some of these decisions in terms of our ancestral foods that have been overlooked and undermined for decades.
The Intertribal Buffalo Council will help the USDA draft a manual for cattle-producing tribes that want to make the switch to raising buffalo. I'm Savannah Maher for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.